I just was going to call my message, and I still am going to call it that, at the border in 2022. We've been seeing the border on TV, on the media, on the news, but we're at a border right now on this day, started yesterday. We're at the border of a brand new year and a brand new phase in our lives, a brand new land. And so we're at the border here, and it's up to us what happens, because this year we don't know what it's going to hold. A lot of people saying a lot of things, but I'm going to give you some things that the Lord has said, and I'll just give you what I feel out of my heart, out of the Word, because you really don't care what I think unless it is thus saith the Lord, and I'll always reference that by the Word of the Lord. But I believe in this house that there are new ministries that's going to come to the forefront, and I'll tell you why. There has to be. There has to be new ministries, because the harvest is very, very ripe. Whenever there is a shaking that's going on right now, listen to me, church. This thing that we're in right now is no longer local. It's not local. It's not about Porterville. I know there's a lot of talk about California, but it's not about California and Porterville and Landmark and the United States. It's global. This big old thing is totally global now. We're all in this thing together. I mean, you turn on the news and you're hearing about Australia. You're hearing about England. You're hearing about Great Britain. You're hearing about Africa and all the nations of the world. And when Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and 2 Timothy the 4th chapter and 1 Timothy the 4th chapter and all through the book of Revelation and Ezekiel and Daniel, like, Jesus really didn't call times. Now that's where the modern day prophet has gotten a little bit messed up, because they would declare before the end of the year, by the next 2 months, and they would tell us these things, but as you begin to read the Word, you don't see where Jesus set a date. He never set a date, but he did talk about events. And he said, you're going to see these things begin to come to pass before the end is there. And so we are having great birth pangs. So we know that the church is in the birthing channel. And we're getting ready to be pushed out by the glory of God. When judgment comes on a nation, when judgment comes, it comes because the world has gotten so corrupt and it has gotten so wicked, and because the church needs to see God's glory. And so when you see these things begin to come to pass, in Matthew 24, he said, Luke 21, just look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we can pretty much, Jesus said, he was talking to some real religious people. He said, you hypocrites. He said, you can look at the weather and you can look up at the clouds and you can know and understand that you're going to have a rainy day. Or, he says, you can look out there and it'll be a clear blue sky and you know the sun's going to shine. But he said, you look at all these signs around you and you just try to ignore them. You don't have a clue. But can I tell you, church, listen, we cannot resist change. We can't resist it. We can't ignore it. Everyone can say what they want about the new year, but change is already here. And it's still changing. And you know what? We are not going back to the way it was. It's just not going back. In fact, Glendale, the songwriter, wrote, and you guys used to sing it all the time, I won't go back, I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. No, we're not going back to the way it was before we were changed. But I'm going to tell you right now, America's not going back to the way it was. No nation, the nations just aren't going back. The change is here. It's a new era. It's a new time. And when you read through the Old Testament, you're very familiar with the sons of Issachar, They were from the tribe of Judah, which was the smallest of tribes of the sons of Jacob, called Israel. The smallest. Judah was the smallest. They only had 200 leaders over those tribes. But do you know the Bible named them? And I love this. The Bible says the sons of Issachar knew what time it was. They understood the times. And I'm like, Lord, please don't let us be ignorant of the times. Let us look at the times and no one understand. That's why I tell you, see, when judgment comes, not only does it deal with the wickedness, and the cup of iniquity is running over right now. I mean, it's just the cup of iniquity, the cup of wickedness, it's just running over. We can't even believe some of the things that our ears hear, that people could be as ignorant as they are, and the things they declare in protecting the sin and the evil and the lawlessness, and they protect it. But the glory comes at the same time when it's the darkest. He reveals his glory, and when he does, it makes the ministering spirits, which the Bible says the ministering spirits are upon this earth ministering to us, and they are angels of fire, ministering spirits set on fire. And I declare to you today that in this time, God draws people to him. And yes, it's a day of reckoning, and yes, it's a day of judgment, but it's also a day of seeing yourself for who you are. It's a day for looking at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you better straighten up. As Mother Evans used to say, you better get right or get left. And don't you start, you know, just pampering that little strange child in your bosom. David said, oh God, deliver me from these strange children that follow me and they declare lies to me and they speak falsehoods. Lord, deliver me from those strange children. Do you know what happens if you don't get delivered from strange children following you along? And I'm not talking about natural children. I know some of you think your kids are strange, but they're... David wasn't talking about them. That's you talking about them, not him. See, because David said, blessed is a man who has a quiver full. So, Rices, I'd say you're pretty blessed. You got a quiver full. But you see, these strange children, Satan comes after us to prevent us from doing the Lord's work and being ready when your time comes. Because time is upon us. I would say, I don't know how to say it, purpose time or time purpose that God had planned for all of us. Because what this judgment, what it causes is a harvest. It causes people to begin to run to God and examine themselves and say, I'd better get in. Time is short. I mean, you even go to Save Mart or down to the post office or wherever you are, and people are talking about the last hour. They're talking about the last days. They're talking about all the mess. And they're not sure what's going on, and they don't like it. But see, it causes the church to rise up and the glory of God to come up. And it's going to make ministers out of every single person that turns their heart to God. Because, Brother Roger, every one of us are going to be used to bring this remnant in. It's going to be the most powerful remnant that's ever been in any generation. The most powerful one that we've ever heard of or know of was the early church. And they were a little baby. Wouldn't you say that the church that's over 2,000 years old and knows as much as we have, and they didn't even have this. We have this. We have this, and we still act like whatever. And yet we can hold this in our lap and read it. We have the letters of the Lord to read. We have the letters of the apostles, the prophets. And God himself speaking through the prophets. And sometimes we ignore this and lay it on the shelf and don't read it. How wise is that? So he said, no, I'm going to do something in this day. But you hold on. But I'm just telling you, church, nothing will remain the same. Thank you, Dee. But the shaking will be good. It will draw men to God. I mean, when everything that is not of him is that's shaken off, it says the only thing that can't be shaken is the kingdom of God. And that's where you and I live. Excuse me for being personal again, but my little ones, when they're taking a bath, they like to soap up and then they make this big bubble like this. They pull it out, make this bubble. And I think, God, that's just like the kingdom. You and I are in the kingdom. Now, you got to work hard to get out of the kingdom and get out of the will of God. But if you really want to push hard, you can get out of the will of God. But you know what? It's harder for me to get out of the will of God than to stay in it. It's easy pretty much to stay in it, but you got to work hard to get out. And you know, because the Holy Spirit convicts you that that's wrong. You know it's wrong. Nobody has to draw you. You don't need any third voice included between you and God. The only third voice that would be is the devil. And you don't need a third voice in your marriage either talking to you. You don't need counsel from anybody else, any other woman, any other man, because they've probably been married 10 times. So leave them alone. But you listen, and you don't have a voice that you don't know. People today going on the internet and let some goofball woman or man talk to them they don't even know. Set themselves up for maybe even a murder. Third voice, folks. It's not going to work in this day. Now, maybe in 1940 or 50s, maybe even in the 60s, that would have been okay. But it's not today. Just too dangerous today to do that. Well, just go over to Deuteronomy. I'll show you here. I may as well get in the Word or I'll... Woo, Lord, there's just so much. My Lord, we praise you, Jesus. You know what I found out? Say, what'd you find out, Pastor? Y'all probably found it out, too. That after 2020 and 2021, both of those years, the people of God either became a victim or victorious. Either a victim or an overcomer. A victim or a victor, however you want to say it. And every time if you want to turn the news on, the devil has raised up servants like his one man's name is Fauci. And he just spits lies out of his mouth. And it's caused people to fear and become a victim. Ooh, I can't come out. Somebody mentioned that Wednesday night. Our own president began to speak filth out of his mouth the other day of fear. When he said, this is going to be a horrible winter and people, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And do you know what they said? They have never heard a president ever speak fear to the American people. That no matter how bad the crisis and how bad it was, even at a time of war, they always spoke in a way that would encourage us or at least not cause fear. So when you hear that kind of language and you hear that kind of presentation, it tells you they know exactly what they're doing and that's what they want. They want to cause us to fear. I know we've been through a lot. In 20 and 21 for those years. And we've gone through our own personal stuff before that. But look at these people of Israel. They're one of our best examples. And I'll give this to you. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Okay, I think I'm jumping ahead. Yeah, I think I am going to stay this here because the change that's here. Look, Deuteronomy 11, verse 10. For the land which you go to possess this year, 2022, for the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come. It's not going to be like 20 and 21. Not going to be like the land of Egypt from whence you've come, where you sowed your seed and you watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. You kind of had to walk softly and be careful and water a little over here and stay away from there and get over here and pull some weeds now and then. Verse 11, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain that comes from where? Comes from heaven. And a land for which the Lord your God cares. The Lord cares about it. And the eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. Always. Look, from the beginning. You better read this with me. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. From the beginning of this year to the end of the year. He said, tell you he cares about our land. He cares about our year coming up, 2022. He cares about your home, your land, your home. Judy, even if you live alone or with family, he cares about your house. He cares about your finances. He said, tell them I care about every piece of the land that they dwell on and dwell in. I love them and I will take care of them. No matter what. And he said, I know it's not going to be. See, this year I already told you the changes here. We are not going back. He said, it's not going to be like 20 and 22, the land you came out of. It'll be different. And when I saw the hills and valleys, I thought those people looked in here. They had, listen, Israel had left all their wanderings. Those poor people had been in slavery for 430 years. I mean, years. And then they came out of Egypt's bondage and wandered in that desert with snakes and wolves and foxes, whatever they had there in Israel. And they wandered and they had to set the tents up and take them down, set the tent up, take it down and move. Yet God was good to them. Walk through the Jordan, walk through the Red Sea and have faith while those big walls of water were up beside them. They had to have faith just to keep walking. I assume they didn't even look either way. They came out of all that. And then they get to the border, like you and I are at the border of a new year. And they looked in and they saw hills and they saw valleys. And you and I look out in our little city of Porterville and we see hills and we see valleys. We live in the valley. Pretty little valley. And yet we look up and there's hills. There's hills. And then you can look over those foothills that we call foothills, and then you see the mountains. I mean, you have people come from other states. Now, Roger, you don't have to be explained about Porterville, you know. But he don't see mountains and hills in Missouri. He sees plains. And now we look at hills and valleys. But God said the difference on this time, when you came to this border, and you're going into a new land, not only am I going to pour my rain on the year, but I'm going to pour it on your house and on your land. So don't y'all worry about Idaho. It's your land. It's my land. Cynthia and Carol, it's your land. We've all got a land. And God said to tell you, I will look over it. I'll do it myself. Because This lying government is not going to do that. They just want to scare us. Are y'all in here? Just act like they're playing with a bunch of little kids. Now listen, have you ever heard of such a thing? That you quarantine those who are not sick and not the sick people. Yeah. So in Landmark, in our church, I think what we're going to do, wear your mask if you want, we will quarantine the sick. Debbie is sick with congestion or whatever. So we've asked her to quarantine. If you're sick, you stay home and quarantine. But for the rest of us, we're not sick. We're well. We're coming to church. Amen? Is that what they do in Missouri? We're going to quarantine the sick and let us come on out, because God said, I care about your land. He cares about Landmark. He cares about all of us. And the eyes of the Lord are always on it from the beginning of the year to the end. So we'll see whatever comes, whatever goes. He said, I'm going to be right there leading you. I'll send the angel of the Lord. I'm going to rain on your land. But let me carry it a bit farther. Verse 13. Now this is going to happen. You say, oh, goody, goody, goody. But look at this. Verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, just love the Lord God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then, somebody say then, I'll give you the rain in your land in its season. The early rain, I'll bless you with early rain, and I'll bless you with the latter rain so you can pull in the harvest, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil, so you can be happy and you can be blessed and anointed and go bring in the harvest. I'll just give you oil and wine. Woohoo! But you got to hear what I tell you to do. Verse 18. Therefore, here's what all that's there for. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be frontlets between your eyes. And, he said, let me say one more thing. That's not all. And, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now in Israel, the blessing's written on the doorpost of every house, every hotel, every grocery store, every home, every hotel. It doesn't matter. I've brought some home, and some of you have them on your house. I've got it on my house. But he said, teach your children. Folks, listen, there's things you've got to be teaching your children and your children's children. Man, I pray at home, Lord, I'm gonna be seeing my kids tomorrow. Make sure you let me speak the things that I should feed into their little spirit. Be careful. Make sure you're talking to your children about the Lord. He said, do it when you're sitting down, just not a bunch of foolishness, but the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. The language of the world is just crazy. But he's promised us his blood and protection. Okay, let's go a little farther. Let's go over to Joshua. Look at this. I'll stop with this, because if I don't tell you that, I may not, and it's so full. But you guys read it when you get home, study it. Listen, when I give you something, you go home, get your Bible, and sit down with it someday during the week. Probably be best to do it on Sunday night while it's still fresh in your mind. But I want to prophesy this to you right here. I think this is beautiful, and I believe the word of the Lord in it. Sweet Jesus, you got it, Joshua? Excuse me. Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. This is the people of Israel again. And they ate of the produce of the land. Another translation says they ate of the fruit of the land. On the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Now look at this, verse 12. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan. When? When? That year. That year. I declare to you, there will be some food from heaven that we will eat this year that we didn't get to eat last year. Now, I'm sure, you know how people are. They didn't like the manna after a while. They're like, God, give us meat, give us meat. We're tired of this, Lord. We can't eat one more pancake, one more bread, one more cookie. We're tired of this old manna. Well, poor things, for 40 years they've been eating it. But now it says, man, when they touched heaven's food, they didn't eat it when it stopped falling. Now, see, the miracle was it fell in the first place. But the next miracle, it was when it quit falling and never did fall anymore. He said, that's it. God said, my people, you're not going to eat that anymore. And it was over. It was all done. And I don't even know what this means, but ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I'll just say it like this. There is something back there in 20 and 22, maybe that we were feasting on or eating on, and you didn't really like it, but it's all you had. And the Lord said, that's over. No more. Even the way we do church. I don't even know what that means, but I'm up for it. How many of you are up for it? So he said, no, that man is going to stop. And I believe this morning was, now we've had some things here, but I believe it was the first of the miracles that he wants to do in this house. A miracle's when it happens right now. But the best is yet to come. And he says, once you taste this manna from heaven, you are no longer the same, and you cannot eat what the earth is trying to poke down your throat. I cannot take it. And neither can you all. You can't stand it either. And God says, furthermore, you're not going to have to. Now, I'm not going to take you over to Psalm 78, but you can look at it. I think it's about verse 5. She's writing it down. I'm not sure it's verse 5D, so put a question mark. 78 and 5. Where it says, the people of that day, you ready for this? They ate angel food. Angel food. We're not talking about that little sponge cake. We're not talking about that cake. But as I was working on this and I lost my notes, and the Lord began to add up some things to me on these two verses, it was this. I have some angel cake that is only eaten in heaven. And my people on earth don't know a thing about it. It's going to be a great thing, church. We don't have to know about it. All I say is, Lord, don't let us miss it. You're going to rain on our land. Nothing's going to be the same. But see, listen. You got to be willing to give up the old things the way it used to be. You may not like it, but some of the things are going to have to go. Some of the old things that you loved. I mean, just cut it off. And God said, I will give you that angel food. I will bring heaven's food to earth to eat. And I said, my Lord. It doesn't get any better than this little cup and this bread. It doesn't get any better than his body and his blood. He said, I know. I was there. I did it for you to enjoy. I did it to heal your body. and keep you cleansed from sin, to help you with your mind and your heart. But I figured you might need something down there on earth during this time. So I'm going to give you a little of heaven's food that year. You saw it. You read it. Heaven's food that year. Anyone can grab a hold of that angel food? Come on, stand on your feet with me if you believe it. Oh, God, we praise you. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Canaan always represents heaven. They ate the food of Canaan. And the people of Israel are always a picture of the church. And so they ate the bread of Canaan, and you and I will eat the bread of heaven. How about that? And we'll eat the angel food. And you know what? We don't have to know what that is, Barissa. I'm just saying, Lord, if it comes out of heaven, I'll just take it. And the Lord said that we will have reports every week. He said, you'll have them yourself that will come from people of my remnant. And they will come to you and say, Pastor Paulette, do you know what happened to me this week? I said, Lord, let it be me too. Somebody say, me too, Lord, me too. Pick up the bread of Jesus. Lord, here's your body. Thank you for it. Thank you for your body to your body. It's hard for us to grasp that you dwell in us and we are your body. I love you, Jesus. Yeah, if you don't have a communion cup, please come get one. Hallelujah. This is your body, Lord. Some were healed already down here this morning. But Lord, this is just going to be a typical day this year. This will just be a typical day of miracles and healings. So we receive with gladness your sweet and precious body. May we take seriously what we have heard this morning. All we know changes on us. But you'll keep us in this land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Your eye is forever on the land. And Lord, this is our manna that we are eating this morning. It is your body. And so we eat of heaven's bread. This is heaven's bread, church. This is heaven's bread. The other will be good, but this is the best. Come on. Let's eat of the bread of heaven this morning. Lord, we bless you. We bless heaven's bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Then they took the cup. The Bible says when they were having their last dinner with Jesus before he died. And he said, I want you guys to drink this cup. He said, this is my blood. And it's going to be shed for you in just a little while. But I want you to drink of this cup and eat this bread. And as often as you do that, would you remember what I did for you? He said, will you remember my death? And I say to you, Jesus, yes, we do. Yes, we do remember what you did for us. And we remember that you died. Yes, we remember that you were laying over that old whipping post to heal our bodies and forgive us our sins. Thank you, Lord. As Peter said, it was by your own precious blood that we are free. We drink of your precious blood in Jesus' name. Let us all partake together and remember what he did for you. Now, could you just give him praise? Just lift your hands and thank him. We remember you, Lord. Heaven is your land. Heaven is your land, and this land is your land. And we are your land. And you are holy. Yes, you are. All right, let's just thank him. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for drawing us in and showing us the signs that you told us that it would be like this in the last hours. But you said you don't fear men nor their lies. You hear the word of the Lord that I look over you, I protect you, I send my angels before your face. I will look over your land from the beginning till the end. And that you will eat my manna. And you will eat the good of the land that year. We will eat heaven's food this year. And we will have your rain on both the hills that we face and our valleys. There will be heaven's rain to help us, the latter and the former. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Ah, happy new year, everybody. Y'all start planning on next year's hallelujah new year's, all right? Start planning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord bless you with finances and divine health and blessing over your home, your children, your family, and all year long. In Jesus' name, amen.